Blog Talk Radio.
He woke me up early this morning and took me to my closet, and
he was really speaking to me about, you know, he was speaking to me about heart to heart. Do we really believe what it is that we say, or do we say what we believe? I know that's going to get complicated, and we're going to get further into it. Just one second. If anyone is having any difficulties hearing me tonight in the studio, please dial one on the dial pad and let me know so our team will know if we need to make any type of adjustment. I'm going to make an adjustment. Bear with me here for a moment. Okay, I think I made an adjustment, so you should be able to hear me. But anyway, as he was speaking to me this morning, he was dealing with me. The message for the show tonight is heart to heart. And then he went in to ask me, I am versus I will. Do we only confess what we believe, or do we believe what we confess? Now, I know the question may sound a little confusing within itself, but it is one that we must ask ourselves. Do I only speak out of my mouth what is proof? For example, I am a female, I am a mother, I am 60, I am loved, I am appreciated, I am single. Or do we have enough faith to speak what we believe but have not seen? Example, I will be successful. I will write another book. I will remain completely healthy. I will be a wife. I will be with you speaks of a time of waiting. I will speaks of a time of waiting. Whereas I am with you says no waiting is necessary. It's funny that he revealed that to me because, and I found that interesting, because the things not seen according to the great I am, which we know I am is God, according to his word in Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to read chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 because this is going to lay the foundation for wherever it is that he's taking us on tonight. There's something that he needs us to know in our thought process. You know, we talk about the heart of man. And when the Bible talks about the heart of man, many of us are thinking this thing that pumps blood and this little thing that's inside of us that pumps blood and keeps blood flowing through our bodies. We think of that. But the heart of man is the mind of man. That's where our battles are. That's where transformation is, you know, it says be transformed by the renewing of their mind. So everything we deal with is started in our mind. That's the heart of us, is our mind. And so I believe that the message that he wants us to get on tonight is, and I've spoken this before, but he's taking it a little deeper. There's got to be a mouth-heart connection. There's got to be a mouth-heart connection because we can say whatever we want to say out of our mouth, but we know words are powerful because why? Not because we know it, but the word of God says words are powerful. The myth here is this, because people say, oh, yeah, I'm just gonna speak it with my mouth. I'm going to speak it with my mouth, and it is. I'm going to name it. I'm going to claim it. I'm going to confess it. But it's a myth because people are confessing things that you're confessing things that's not manifesting. You're confessing things that's not manifesting. So there's a myth somewhere here because when God spoke words, it was. He spoke it, and it was. He spoke it, and it was. And it was good. That is because that there was a heart-mouth connection. What do you mean, Coach D? Because everything that he spoke, he believed. He believed it. And a lot of times we're speaking things, and our mouth is saying one thing, but our minds don't believe what we're saying. And this is going to bring us into some other stuff. It's going to be like, so again, just things to make you say, because it's going to be up to you to study to show your own self-approval. It's going to be up to you to get into the Word of God and dissect it so that you could taste it and meditate on it and really understand what God is saying up to us, saying to you, because this is a personal thing between you and God. This is vertical, up and down. not between anybody with you horizontal. It's not between you and your neighbor. It's not between you and your wife. It's not between you and your kids. It's not between you and your parents. This is a personal, intimate relationship between you and God. It's vertical. So you need to sit before God. So when God sends the people of God to speak a word or to teach or to share testimony, that's what he's doing. So that then you have to take that, and if it resonates with your spirit, then you have to take that and study his word, you know, to make sure that maybe he may not be telling you the same thing that he's telling me. He may have a different message for you. So I'm just sharing the message that God gave to me to share. And for some of you, this message is for you. For some of you, it's going to go over your head. For some of you, you're going to reject it. But nevertheless, the seed of this message is going to be planted, because I want to be obedient to plant the seed. Now, how that seed falls and what ground it falls on is between. That has nothing to do with me. That has to do with God. Amen. So anyway, God was believing what he was saying. And as I said earlier, do we only confess what we believe? Meaning sin is believing. If I see it, I believe it. You know, if I want to be a wife, but I don't believe I'm a wife until a husband comes along, then I'm only confessing what I see. I believe it because I see it. I believe it because I have a husband. Yet God is calling forth a people of faith, people that will be able to believe what we confess based on faith, not because of what I see, because that's what faith is. If you remember in Hebrews 11:1, it tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of what things not seen. This is all this belief that we talk about, believing in God and believing in Jesus Christ. This is a faith walk, because we're believing in things that we really haven't seen. Now, as we grow in these things, as we grow in the word, as we grow in relationships, we begin to see the manifestation of things that the Spirit has already shared with us, because the Spirit may have shared something with you, and you're praying and believing according to the word of God, and then that thing manifests. What was invisible is now visible. So let's get back. Let me go back. We're going to get to Genesis. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Now listen, there's some buzzwords here. Thus the heavens and the earth were what? Finished. And all the host of them. It didn't say that I was finished for the day. It didn't say that I had work to still do. It didn't say I'll start back tomorrow. It didn't say any. It said, thus the heavens and the earth was finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work. There we go again, finished. God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now, when you think about this, it speaks to no waiting. If God has already finished it, then we're not waiting for something to be completed. It's already done. It's finished. It's completed. And we as believers have to come into the realization and truly understand that the work is done. Everything God is going to give you, everything that you're going to need, he's already given it to you. You everything. He supplied all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What do you mean, Coach D? It's complete. So what does that mean? That means that if it's complete in the spiritual realm, everything's complete. It's invisible to us, but it's visible in the spiritual realm. It's invisible in the natural. So our whole job as believers and faith walkers is to walk that invisible, is to be able to pull down the invisible into the visible. Did you get that? Our job is to confess through faith, based on what? Based on the Word of God. So when we're in the Word of God and we begin to learn the Word of God and we mature in the Word of God, then our prayer life changes. We no longer have these selfish prayers that's just, you know, that's a myth. They're self-centered. They have no direction. They don't speak to God's glory. They don't speak to God's ultimate will for our lives. It's just about what I want. God, I want this. God, I need this. God, I want that. But we're not lining up according to the Word of God. Because as we start reading the Word of God, then we start praying differently. Our prayers begin to line up with the Word of God and the will of God. And as our prayers begin to line up with the Word and the will of God, then guess what happens? Those things that are visible in the spiritual realm become visible in the natural realm. Amen? And that's what God needs us to know. That's what he needs his children to know tonight. He's pushing this. I know he's pushing it because after he downloaded this into me, I heard two more. I heard a man of God, actually a prophet of God, and I heard another woman of God speak about words. They were speaking about the manifestation. And so God shows me when he gives me something, he'll confirm it. He first confirmed it through his word, but then he'll confirm it through others. So I then know, wow, I'm in alignment. I'm on track. Thank you, Father, for the confirmation. So I know that this was God telling. He needs us to hear this. It's heart to heart, and he needs us to start dealing with the heart of the matter, and that's our mind, because we can no longer just confess what we believe based on what we see. You know, if I don't have no, I'm only healed when I don't have any symptoms. So if I'm coughing and if I'm fever and if I don't feel good and my body is aching, I have to have such a faith that I'm still speaking, I'm healed, I'm whole, I'm the heal-resisting sickness. I got to speak that thing, not based on how I feel, not based on what I see, but based on what I know. How do I know it? Because the Word of God says it. And when I begin to stand on the Word of God and begin to speak now, not, you know, based on not what I see, not what, you know, not what I feel, but now I'm starting to speak what I know. I'm speaking the Word of God. And when I begin to speak the Word of God, then the Word of God begin to manifest the visible into the invisible. So it starts to pull things from that's already complete. Remember? It was completed on the sixth day. On the seventh day, it was complete. Everything was done. And so, or he finished the work on the sixth day, but the seventh day was complete. So now, those things are already done. You know, when we pray, we say, let it be done on earth as it already what? Is in heaven. Already is. Not will be, that not gonna be, not someday, but it says it's already. Let it be done on earth as it already is, complete in heaven. I don't know. Somebody should be shouting. So our job, again, is to line up according with the will of God and the Word of God so we can begin to see the Word so that the will of God can be manifested. What's that? Let it be done on earth as it already is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Who's God? God's kingdom come. God's will be done on earth as it already is in heaven. And we could speak some things in existence. If you start speaking that you hold, guess what? You're gonna manifest because you're already whole. You actually are whole. You're gonna manifest that in the natural. If you start speaking, and I'm not just saying people say, well, yeah, I'm speaking that I'm rich. God ain't nothing in the Bible talking about that God called you to be rich. Everybody wasn't rich. Matter of fact, everything that God spoke about in the Bible as it pertains to somebody rich was not a good thing. You remember the rich man that went to hell? Then he also goes on to say that it'd be harder for a rich man to make it in heaven than a camel to go through an eye of a needle. So it was nothing, really think about it, that he spoke. We all trying to be rich. Everybody on earth is trying to be rich. You know, we we playing the lotto, and we coming up with hustles and multi-level marketing and all these kind of things, get rich quick stuff, get rich quick scheme. Everybody want to be rich. And ain't nothing in the word of God where being rich was a mandate, but being humble was, being faithful was, and many of us are not being those things, but we busy trying to be rich. Amen? So let's further go on to see what the word of God said, because this is not about what Post D said. This is about what the word of God said. How do we get to a point where we begin to believe what we don't see? How do we get to a point where we truly believe that? And let me tell you, let me tell you something that's basic, not basic, but our salvation is based on us getting this tonight. You know, many say, oh, well, you just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart Jesus is Lord, and then you say, then the word of God tells us that the path is narrow, it's few, which tells me that there's a whole lot of folks that's going to be going in the opposite direction. That's telling me there's a whole lot of folks that's not going to make it into heaven. And if that be the case, then we got to understand why. Because if people confessing with their mouth and believing in their heart that Jesus is Lord and they're saved, period, then the path shouldn't be that narrow. So I was like, Lord, your word says. So if your word says this, then why so many people going to miss it? Because I know people who spoke it out of their mouth. But see, I can't tell if they believe it in their heart. Because we see a lot of people that speak it out of their mouth. But then again, their actions may not show that they truly believe it in their heart. What do you mean, Coach D? Because the word of God, this is a check for me. This should be a check for us all. We should be doing some self-inventory. Because the word of God says that if you truly believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, He said, my children follow my command. So if I truly believe that Jesus is Lord, then guess what? My actions are going to change. How I move is going to change. Now, let me say something here, and I may be saying a disclaimer, Holy Spirit, about if it's not you, then shut me down. But not my actions are going to change. Not my actions according to Sister Sue. Not my actions according to Brother Bill or Apostle Tom or Prophetess Tina. I'm just saying some names. Not my actions according to them, but my actions according to God. And I say that because we a lot of times dictate our lives and we try to line up and we try to be what other people need or want us to be or think we should be. See, other people are judging, and it's not a righteous judgment because they don't know. They don't know what you know. They don't know your relationship with God. They don't know what God told you, because God might have told you something different than he told them. Or they may see something, and they're thinking, oh, well, this and this and this. I heard people say, well, surely she going to hell because she's on drugs. We don't know if she's going to hell. We don't know what's going on with her and her relationship with God. So we're seeing it from a carnal standpoint, and God is seeing it from a spiritual standpoint. We don't know what God is going to do in the last hour. We just don't know. So what we need to do, instead of thinking that we could judge or say what somebody's going to do or what they aren't going to do, or we could look to somebody from the outside looking in and say we figured it all out, we haven't figured it out. We don't know. So what we should do and what our responsibility to do as believers is to pray for somebody, to pray for people. If you're in question, if you're in doubt, it's not up to you. Pray. Listen before God. That's what we should be doing, is lifting up, but, you know, versus doing this unrighteous judgment, because we don't know. We really don't know. So, let's skip over here real quick to Romans, because I want to talk about some of the things that the Word of God is saying as it pertains to our heart to heart, meaning are we really believing what we say, even when we don't see it? We don't see salvation. If you think about it, do we really see salvation? Or we just believe by faith? You know, according to the word of God, that we're saved because we believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. Do you really believe that Jesus is Lord? Or has it just been this sweet story? Has it been a sweet story that you've been taught since you've been born or since you was a child or whenever you heard the story? Is it just a sweet story about this little baby Jesus? Oh, he's so cute. But see, that little baby Jesus is coming back to judge. That lamb is coming back as the lion, and he's coming back to judge. So we don't really believe Jesus is Lord. Guess what? It's going to be very difficult when we now see him coming back to judge, because it's not going to be that sweet baby Jesus. And if you're reading his word and you're getting into the word, then you will know this, that he's coming back to judge. Amen? He's coming back to judge. So Romans chapter 10, let's further see what the word of God has to say. We see in God's law of faith, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And seeking anything from God, we must first believe in our what? Heart. Believing in our heart. What did I just say about the heart? So we got to first believe in our mind. Do we believe this? Do we believe this? Because whatever we believe, we'll do. I'm going to say that again. Whatever we believe, we'll do. If you believe, Norm, it's going to be from vision. If you believe your house is on fire, what you going to do? You're going to make preparations to get out first and then try to make preparations to get the fire put out. You're not going to sit there and wait until the house burned down to make a decision to do something. Why? Because you believe it. If you believe that if you got in your car and went around a corner to the convenience store because there was going to be $1,000 waiting there for you, if you truly believe that, you would get in your car and go. Likewise, if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he was sent to redeem us, that he was sent to die for our sins, that he was born, that he was crucified, that he was buried, and that he had risen again. If we believe that, then everything that proceeded out of his mouth, everything that he spoke in the word of God, everything that the Bible speaks of, we would believe it. We would believe it. And as I said that, I could hear naysayers saying, well, you know, it was rewritten. Well, you know, it's missing books. Well, you know, it ain't quite this. But guess what? As a believer, when you really believe that Jesus is Lord, then you've now, then there's something that takes place in you. When you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then there's a water baptism that takes place. And that's symbolic for you're being buried with Christ. So the old you is being buried, and the new you is being risen with Christ. It's symbolic. And then there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit. And now the Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God, is living in you. And it's the Spirit of God living in you that leads and guides you and bring all things to your remembrance. So guess what? It don't matter how many books they left out the Bible. It don't matter that their translation is weak and diluted and polluted, because it is. But we're not no longer reading the Word of God by the letter. We're reading the Word of God by the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God, the author who literally inspired the Bible, is living in you, and who could be against you? What foul translation, what missing book could be against you? Why? You got the author living in you. You don't think that he will bring a revelation knowledge to you? You don't think that he will not help you understand what he originally meant by what was said? You got the author living in you. So when people come up to you with the foolishness about, you know, this is a slave master religion, and you know, it was made to control you, and it was this, and it ain't this, and this is not right. They don't even understand. They're talking natural things with them. They're trying to talk natural things about something that's spiritual, and the two can't exist together. I'm no longer reading the Word of God in the natural. I'm reading the Word of God because the author of the Word of God is living in me. So he's navigating me. He's guiding me through. He's giving me knowledge. He's giving me understanding. He's unveiling his truth to me. He's guiding, as he's guiding you. He's no respecter of person. If you desire it, if you want it, he says, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it'll be given to you. Knock and doors will be open. That's the Word of God. So if you really want to know the Word of God, and maybe you are confused. See, we can't fool God, whether we speak it up with our mouths or ask it. We can't fool God. See, the enemy can't read our minds, but guess what? God can. He knows all things. He could be everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. So when I go to read the Word, oftentimes, before I get ready to read the Word, my prayer to God is, Lord, what do you have for me this morning? What is it this morning, this evening, with it? What is it that you need me to know? When I come on Thursday night, I try to separate me as much as possible. I try to die completely to self so the very Spirit of God could guide me and lead me. And my prayer is, when I go to God in prayer, especially for Thursday night, is, Lord, what would you have me tell your people? What is it that you need your people to know? What is the thing? What is it by your Spirit that you need me to? He's just using me as a vessel. Not because I'm perfect, not because I get it right all the time, not because I don't struggle in the flesh, but because I'm willing. And I said, yes, Lord. If he said go, I said, yes, Lord, I'll go. It don't make me no difference. The only difference is I'm saying yes, and maybe somebody else is saying no. Maybe somebody else is saying no. Maybe somebody else is operating in a rebellious spirit. Let's get to it. I know the time is passing quick. So we just read Romans 10:10, where it tells us that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And seeking anything from God, we must first believe in our heart, our mind, because the Word said it. Then we must confess with our mouth that it is so. So because the Word said it, I believe it. Because the Word said it, I believe it. And I won't be persuaded otherwise. And believe me, I have my share, and it won't stop. It won't stop today, and it won't stop tomorrow. But I have people that I love dearly that's always trying to persuade me that this is not what it is. I'm convinced, I'm sold out, that the Word, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God, no matter what translation is off, no matter what is missing, because I'm trusting the Spirit of God that live on the inside of me to navigate me. He is the author, and he lives in me, and I'm trusting that, and that's what I'm standing on. So when I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that he came, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again, I'm saved. Saved, justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Matthew 12 and 34 further goes on to reveal to us, you have minds. Now, he's telling us. In Matthew, I find it very interesting. because, you know, we're constantly dealing with this heart of man, the mind of man, the mind of man. There's so much stuff in the Word of God that speaks to our mind. And I often say, I'm losing my mind for the mind of Christ. He said, oh, girl, don't say you're losing your mind. But I do. I don't want my mind. I want the mind of Christ. In order to get the mind of Christ, I got to lose my mind. I got to lose my carnality. I got to lose being able, I got to lose seeing as believing. I got to now begin to think I can believe without seeing because I have faith because according to the Word of God. So I'm losing my mind for the mind of Christ because Matthew 12:34 lets us know that our mind is pitiful. And I'm reading this from the Message, but it says, you have minds like a snake pit. He's telling us the human, because of sin that entered the earth in Genesis 3, we have minds like a snake pit. How do you suppose what you say is worth anything when you are so foul-minded? We are foul-minded. And it says, there's no good thing in our heart. And people, it always packs me up when people say, you can't judge me. God knows my heart. You're absolutely right. He knows your heart. He knows there's no good thing in it. Without him, we're nothing. We're filthy rags. We couldn't get it right if we wanted to. Because of sin, we couldn't get it right if we wanted to. These carnal minds, man, you could sit up here when you know, if you keep it real, if you know it says walk in the spirit so that you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you guys know, you could go to church, have a hallelujah good time. The Holy Spirit could have showed up and slayed the thousands. And you got a revelation word, and God spoke a prophetic word into you, and you excited, and you happy, and you can leave church, and before you know it, you done cut somebody out. Or you done got angry. Or you done did something you got to repent for. Because it's a constant. It's a constant. We have to constantly be walking in the Spirit. We got to constantly be staying conscious. And it's impossible without Jesus. It's impossible without his Holy Spirit to constantly navigating us and convicting us so that we don't continue in the way of the world. It's not going to say that we're not going to miss the mark. We are going to miss the mark. But it's not supposed to be a lifestyle of missing the mark. So it goes on to tell us that our minds are like snakes. How do we suppose what you say is worth anything when you're so foul-minded? It's your heart, not the dictionary, that gives meaning to your words. It's your heart, not dictionary, not intellect, not eloquence. It's your heart that gives meaning to your words. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. A good person produces good deeds and words season after season. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's telling us, it's not what a man puts into his mouth that defiles him, but it's what comes out of his mouth. So what's inside of us will come out of us, and it's going to tell who, and it's going to tell what's going on with us. What I just got a vision of, and I could speak this because many of us know we're going to be able to visualize what I'm getting ready to say. I could go to my sink right now. My sink is clean. There's no dishes in it. Dishes are washed. Sink's cleaned out. But I could go to my sink, and I could get a foul smell. Many of us did this. And you walking around your house, and you say, you know, you walk in the kitchen like, oh, my God, what is the smell? You look in the trash is empty, nothing in the trash. And you open up the refrigerator, and nothing stinky come out the refrigerator, but you smell this foul smell, and you're trying to figure out where it's at. Finally, it dawned on you. There's something coming out of the sink. But when you look at the sink looks perfect. Ah, I know what it is. I put broccoli in the sink a day ago and forgot to put on the garbage disposal. So the broccoli is sitting in there and is rotting in the sink. And even though the sink looks perfectly clean, even though there's not a dish in the sink, not a spot in the sink, The smell is coming from the inside out because it hasn't been cleansed. And many of us are walking around here like a garbage disposal. We're stinking. We are stinking. We look cute. Our hair is cute. Our nails are cute. Our lashes are cute. Our Stacey Adams gentlemen are cute. That new brim you got is cute. That double breakfast suit you got is cute. I don't even know if they wear double. But, oh, we look good. We're saying all the right things. We know all the cute cliches. We know just when to say hallelujah. We know just when to say thank you, Jesus. We know how to talk the talk. We know how to look the look, but we stinking. And the only person that's, and who can smell us is who? God. He can smell us. We reaping. We stinking. And if somebody is God conscious enough and they're in the spirit, they can see you too. They can smell you. What you mean, Coach D? What I mean is many of us are not purging. We're not cleansing ourselves. How do we cleanse ourselves? I'm going to get to that. We got to find a way to cleanse ourselves. We got to find a way to cut on the switch of the garbage disposal. So all this garbage that we got in us, and we got garbage in us. Why? Because we're talking, some of us is 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years old. I've had 60 years of carnal life. I have 60 years on this earth. So in this 60 years, I've been exposed to a lot of stuff. So if I'm not cleansing it, so my body is kind of like a garbage disposal, you know? Everything, childhood trauma, words people are supposed to it. We are words housed in flesh. So somebody said you ugly. Somebody said you had a big forehead. Somebody said you too light. You're too dark. You're too short. You're too fat. You're too skinny. All these negative words that's been spoken into our lives that just pile up inside of like old garbage, and it begins to stink. How do we see the stinkiness of it? How do we smell that? We smell it because it looks like bad attitude, bitterness, anger, profanity. They better not say nothing to me. I'll cuss them out. They don't know who I am. You know what that says. Many of you done ran into it. Fellas are always talking about, man, she was so cute, and, man, I would have loved to date her, but she opened up her mouth, and all you could smell was garbage. Nobody never hit the garbage disposal. What's the switch? The switch is the word of God. So how do we put on the garbage disposal in our lives? How do we begin to cleanse this stuff up out of us? What's the step? What's the process? There is a step. There is a process. Thank you for asking me. So I'm going to share with you on tonight, and we're going to bring this thing to a close. I'm going to share 5 points with you that's going to help you begin to cleanse, to do this cleanse, to get this garbage, you know, get it chopped up, you know, because, you know, garbage disposal come in, and it got these sharp blades in it. And it begins to just chop this stuff up. It chops it down to the lowest milliliter. It just chops it up. And eventually it chops it up so much to it just disappears. And then it processes through. It processes through what it processes through. Just like when we eat food, when we're chewing food, it's important. And many people got digestive issues because they don't even chew their food. They just swallow it. They take a couple of chews and swallow it. And now they got all kind of health issues because it's important, and they told you even when you were young, you're supposed to chew your food something like 35 times or more. You're supposed to chew it and break it down. You have to strengthen your gums, your teeth, your jaw muscles to chew that, and the more you chew it, the more it's broken down. Why we need it broken down, Coach G? Because the more it's broken down, the more it's broken down, the easier it is to digest. The easier it is to digest, the easier it is to process. The easier it is to process, the easier it is to eliminate. Right? And so if you get your body, get what it needs to get out of it, and it eliminates it. Some of you have been backed up for years. I've talked to people. I know people personally that sometimes they don't use the bathroom elimination for once a week. See, and that's not normal for me. I'm thinking, pretty much for me, everything that go in my mouth, it ain't going to be long before it's coming out of me. But I took that for granted. I thought that was normal. You know, it is normal But a lot of people are not normal. A lot of people have a hard time eliminating. A lot of people deal with constipation. Ooh, Coach D, I know I'm talking about some grown stuff on tonight, so hopefully there ain't no immaturity or no babies on the line that can't accept it, because I'm talking grown stuff. So a lot of us is full of, you know what I'm just saying, we full of, and we stink. And now we need to go through, cut on the garbage disposal, begin to process this stuff, get it cleansed out, so now that we could begin to have a heart-to-heart connection, a heart-to-mouth connection, so now we could begin to believe what we don't see, that it will manifest into what we see. So we could begin to pull those things that are visible in the spiritual realm now down into the natural realm, because now we're being cleansed from, you know, we're not backed up. We're not stinking. We're cleansing. So now we could begin to absorb the word of God. We could begin to stand on the word of God, because it's hard to walk this walk anyway. It is super duper hard to walk this walk and to trust God when you're so broken on the inside, when you're so heavy laden, when you're so burdened down. It's hard. So number one, first and foremost, we want to dedicate our heart, our mind, and our mouth, our tongue, to the Lord daily. How do we do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through, you know, confessing. You know, Lord, help me. Father God, I know I've fallen short of your glory. Help me, Father God, to be better today than I was yesterday. Help me to control my emotions, my mind, my soul, my mind, and my mouth. Number two, pray that God will give you revelation, knowledge of his word, and an awareness / consciousness of your words so that they align with his words. This is very important. What you mean, Coach D? Because I want to practice speaking God's word, because God honors what? His word. He said he watches over it to perform it, that it should not return unto it some void, but that it should accomplish what he sends it out to do. So if it tells me, if he's watching over his word, then he honors his word. So we are word people. So we should start speaking God's word in and out of season. What does that look like? Instead of me saying, oh, man, this is hard. Oh, man, I got a headache. Oh, my gosh, this ache. Oh, I'm sick with this. Oh, I'm sick with that. No, so now I'm going to start saying, I am healed by his stripes. You're going to go find the word of God that matches your situation, that matches your circumstances, that matches what you want to see manifest according to God's word. And now we're going to start speaking the word of it. And so instead of, we're going to now become conscious minded. When somebody said, well, can you do X, Y, Z? And instead of you saying, well, no, I don't know how to do that, I can't do that, now you're going to start saying, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Or I am more than a conqueror. So we're going to start speaking the word of God, right? And now as we begin to speak the word of God, guess what we're doing? We're speaking into existence the invisible into the visible, or the visible in heaven. Now, we're bringing what's already done in heaven down to earth. So we're speaking it now. So what's going to happen? We're going to begin to see it. It's invisible to us now, but it's really visible in the spiritual realm. So we start speaking it, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now that thing is going to begin to manifest. We're going to begin to see it in the natural. Number three, so we want to make sure we're lined up. We're aligned with his word. And if we're aligned with his word, you know, when the word of God tells us, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart, you got to delight yourself in him. Because when you delight yourself in him, you're no longer praying for self-gratification. You're praying for God's glorification, that he be glorified. So you're praying what he will want for you. And if he wants it for you and it's his word and he's watching over them to cause it, he's watching over to perform it, then guess what? That's how your prayers are getting answered. Because it's in what? Alignment with the word of God. Number three, surrender up your right to complain. That's a good one. This one spoke to me. Because when somebody do wrong or something ain't right, you know, I'm big on it ain't right. It ain't right. You know, you need to do right by me. And he's saying surrender up your right to complain. We might have a right to complain, but it might not be profitable to complain. So he's saying surrender that right. Yeah, you have a right to complain that it's too hot, that it's too cold, that you ain't making enough money, that you can't do this or you need to do that. You have a right, but the right ain't always profitable. So surrender up your right to complain. Humble yourself and be grateful. Philippians, I found it interesting, Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, do all things without murmurs and complaining, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. God hates murmuring and complaining. If you want to get on God's nerves, keep murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining is a form of a hardened heart. And he said, harden not your hearts like the children of Israel did in the days of provocation. He's saying, I don't like that murmuring and complaining. And that's all they did. And for something that should have been 40 days, and I say this often, took 40 years, but their hearts were hardened. And the evidence of that was murmuring and complaining. Number four, ask for forgiveness for any unloving words of attitude. God knows. He knows we're human. Now, I hear people say that. He knows we're human, but he's given us the tools and resources that we don't have to be subjected to bondage. He has his Holy Spirit living in us to help us. And he's asking us to pull on that resource. That's like somebody said, oh, I can't find a job. I can't get a job. Won't nobody hire me. But they ain't never even opened up. Well, we don't have newspapers anymore. But they never even went online, went to the Workforce Development Center to try to see what jobs are available. If you just sitting in your house and you ain't doing nothing, you ain't going nowhere, you ain't doing nothing, you ain't going online, you ain't trying to do nothing, you ain't filling out no application, but you're saying, I can't get a job, nobody hiring me. That's the way Christians are when it comes to the Holy Spirit. They're struggling. We're struggling with a lot of carnal areas in our lives. I'm not exempt. But then we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have a resource. And God is saying, pull on your resource. The word of God says he gives us a way of escape. The word of God says, flee the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So he's saying, we got resources. Pull on your resource. Pull on the Holy Spirit to help you. And then, David was not perfect. David had some issues. And I can name other mighty men and women in the Bible that had issues. They weren't perfect. God didn't choose perfect people. But the amazing thing about David, as much as David messed up, now David's sin, there's still consequences. Even when you got favor from God, there's consequences to sin. And David's consequences to sin, he had to see a lot of things going with his children, even one turning on Absalom. But God said that David was a man after God's own heart. Why? Because David had a repentant spirit. David was true to his conviction. And when the Spirit of God would convict him, when he knew he was blowing it, when he knew he blew it, he was not resistant to repenting. He was not resistant to asking for forgiveness. God, I blew it. Father, I don't want to blow it. Father, don't take your presence from me. Father, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. Father, I need you. Father, help me. Forgive me. And God is telling us, ask for forgiveness for any unloving words or attitude, anything you know that you've done, we know when it ain't pleasing to God. 99% of the time, we know when we're doing something pleasing to God, because we get convicted. Because why? Because we're children of God. And the Spirit of God is living inside of us. And it convicts us. It says, you know you shouldn't have did that. Or you better not do that. We hear that little voice. We be like, yes, something told me. Now, it wasn't something that told you. It was God telling you, don't you do that. Don't you go over that girl's house. Don't you go out there to that club. And when you've been obedient to it, next thing you know, you read on the news, 13 people got shot up, and you were supposed to be there, and you were planning on going there. But you listened to the Spirit of God in you, and you stayed at home. That's not coincidence. And number five, as we bring this thing to a close, practice speaking words that will encourage, comfort, edify, and inspire. Period. Practice speaking words that will encourage, comfort, edify, and inspire. One of the things I did a few years ago, women are to be catty. And, you know, if you're a woman or a man, if you watch women, women could be catty. They could be, you know, they could be two-faced. They could be, you know, envious and jealous of one another and so forth and so on. So, you know, because that's the nature of women, in the natural, it's caused a lot of women to shut down and not be receptive of their sisters, and there's no sisterhood. And one of the things God told me there's two words I started using with women, whether I knew them personally or didn't. And one of the words that I now, when I'm speaking to another woman, I use the term sis. And when you use the term, when I say sis, what that does is, to me, when I'm coming to another woman and I say sis, it said I'm coming in peace. I'm not coming as competition. I'm not coming as a threat, but I'm coming in love. And it causes her, whatever life experiences she had that caused her to be withdrawn, shut down, protective, skeptical, hesitant, coming in and saying, sis, or even beautiful, that's another one I use, it causes her to let her guard down. And now she and I can have dialogue, open dialogue, and a dialogue that's built on mutual respect. To me, that's like number five, practice speaking words that will encourage. So by me saying, hi, beautiful, or hi, sis, those are words they're words that come in peace. They're like the white flag that come out and say, I come in peace. I come in peace. And so it comforts myself. It comforts my fellow sisters, you know. And then once I'm able to, you know, you can't even tell people about Jesus if they got their guard up. They can't receive. But if you come with words of comfort, that now you could come in and give words of edification and inspire. So now I can come in and say, hey, sis, do you know how beautiful you are? Wow, look at that outfit you have on. Oh, my gosh, you got beautiful eyes. What's wrong with giving each other compliments? What's wrong with inspiring and edifying one another and encouraging? You know what, girl, I believe you could do it. I could see you starting that business. And celebrate and elevate others, because what we do unto others will be done unto us. When God God blesses us, expecting us to be a blessing to others. Now, I'm speaking from sisters, but that's the same way with you guys. You know, come in peace. Whatever that, whatever the Holy Spirit gives you for your word of peace when you're approaching, you know, when you're approaching one of your brothers. You know, what word can you say that could encourage them? Do you know some people have never been told they're beautiful? Some people might have never been told that they could succeed at doing something. One word could change the whole destiny of somebody. One word could change a person's life. Just like one word could destroy a person, one word could build a person up. And God is expected for us to be those people. So again, we want to heart-to-heart connect. We want to make sure that what we're speaking is what we're believing. Why? Because the word is based on the word of God. Not because we see it, not because we feel it, but because we know it. Why? Because the word of God told us it. Father God, we just want to thank you on tonight. We give you all the honor, the glory, and praise, for truly, Father, you are worthy. We thank you for your word that went forth on tonight. I pray that it edified. I pray that it comforted. I pray that it inspired. And I pray that it encouraged the listening audience. Father God, that we have been challenged. You have challenged us to be people of your word, that we speak your word, that we stand on your word, that we confess your word. And Father God, that we walk in your word. So Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you for loving us enough to give us your word. And we thank you, Father, that you, the author of your word, resides in us as you resided in your son here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it has edified you, and I pray that you've been able to take something away from what was spoken on tonight, and that it encouraged you and helped you. I am so glad to be back, and I am looking forward to the weeks to come. We do have some special guests that will be on the show. If this is your first time listening, I'm always looking for guests to come on and either share a word that God has given you or share your testimony. I believe testimony is important because we always think we're the only ones going through something, but believe me, if you're going through something, I can tell you 10 more people, that's at least 10 more people that's going through the same thing or been through it. And when we give our testimony according to Revelation 12 and 11, first of all, we're believers, so we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus. Second thing is that we've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. It's important because really that's not our testimony. It's God's testimony because he's the one who brought us through it. So who are we to hold on to it? Who are we to hold on to what God brought us through? We're supposed to be sharing that with others so that maybe they too could get through like we got through. Amen. And so if you know of someone that has an amazing testimony that you feel like would be a blessing to others, please feel free to hit me up. You can email me at mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com, cdnetworkinc@gmail.com. You can hit my social media page called Processing the Pain, my author page, Gwethlyn D. So there's multiple ways you could look me up on social media. Instagram, I'm at MyCoachD. So you could also direct message me there. If you, like I said again, know someone that you think would make a great guest because they have a great testimony or they have an amazing word to edify the body, feel free to shoot me a message. And I would love to speak with you or speak with them. Amen. So, again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. I look forward to being with you next week. Know that you are truly loved and appreciated. Have a good night.
surrender.